Blog Talk Radio.
People. individually we can be blessed to a degree. But our people as a whole will still be suffering. We will not have any strength against our enemies. We will be more or less at the, you know, at the whim of the world. And so until the Most High returns, the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. I want to say to Sister Denise, you were saying that they found a leak in your furnace. Were they able to just turn off the gas at the furnace, entire house, so that you could get some hot water and you can get out?
Yeah, they turned off just for the furnace.
Okay, yeah, it just sort of came across my mind like, wow, I hope they didn't turn his sister's gas off to the whole house when they could be.
But they had just turned the gas back on, remember me telling you, Brother Ma, they turned the gas off first because it was a gas leak.
Right.
And they turned the gas off. Then when they turned the gas back on, that's when they found the leak in the furnace.
Right, so they just turned it off at the furnace then?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So you can still use your stove and you can heat with the stove and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, if they got all your gas off, if it's only at the furnace, then there should be a valve right there. All right. So they're taking care of you, you know, the best that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to make sure you were, you know, that you had some type of heat. If you could use the stove or something else, you know, to help heat the house if you didn't have the furnace and that kind of stuff.
Right. Yes, I do.
Oh.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. Yeah, it just, you know, I was just thinking about it. I was like, well, wait a minute. We should be able to turn it off up here or down here, wherever that furnace is at. So I'm glad that they have it that way and you are good to go. All right.
Yes, I am.
All right, amen. To Yah be the glory then. Not a whole lot of pressure.
Yeah.
We are going to be continuing in this, as I said, starting in verse 20. I've been sort of meandering and dealing with issues in the verses because, you know, the more that we recognize what we are exposed to, and, you know, typically when I teach this lesson, you know, Gentiles will join and then they will fall off and, you know, because it's particularly about, you know, our people, you know, it's something that is uniquely that we have been through. We have to deal with it. This ministry is first to the Hebrew Israelite and then to the rest of the world. And so, you know, be it as it is, everybody that is part of the house of Israel needs to understand what we have gone through as a people. Sometimes at the, you know, at the hands of their own, of their forefathers. Sometimes, you know, and it's really the root cause of it is our disobedience to the Most High. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith and jump into this this precept. I don't know what's happening to my files here, but I have been working on the Yeshuan Farm website. I've added some short videos in there on like immune health and muscle health and bone health and brain health. And, you know, so their videos, they do have write-ups that go with them, but they are also, you know, just addressing how to use the microgreens to address those particular areas in our life. That we can use the microgreens to, you know, to deal with these things. I have a couple of more that I'm going to be adding, and then I'm going to do the commercial side of that website for businesses, you know, and for, you know, restaurants and doctor's offices that want to include microgreens as part of their treatment plan. And so that will be the last thing that I work on for a while on this site. Just want to figure out how, you know, I want to approach it and then put it on the site. But if you go to the site and you go up under, you know, health and wellness, then you will find those videos. And, you know, they're little short videos about, you know, using microgreens for bone health or muscle health or brain health, immunity and those types of things. And then we also have the links to the pages that tell you how much microgreens you would need to use. All right, that being said, we have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. Everybody turn toward the east. Direction that the sun rises. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine. Okay, and I got an echo from somebody. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise on today. And we lift you up. And we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee, Father. We extol thee. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father. And another will we not bow down to and give our adoration to, but to you and you alone. For you are our Elohim. And you alone will we follow. You alone will we obey. And we just thank you, Father. We sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah to you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hand raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Still reading for this evening. Let us get Exodus. No, let us get John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. We are the sounding of the shofar.
Thank you. make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh
Lord. Make me a house,
oh,
make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out, the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. Fire for my altar never burn out. The fire for my altar never burn out. May the fire for my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Please, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house. Seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
of prayer.
Day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Make me a house of prayer.
We pray
day and night, night and day.
May we pray day
and night, night and day.
Seek your face
day and night, night and day.
Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Day and night.
Melanin in their skin, you know, they're trying to really are trying to pull the wools over our eyes. They are allowing other races to assume the highest positions in this country. But if you are the descendant of a slave, they have not allowed this, and we have to understand that. And the main reason for this move is because we have forsaken or forgotten Yah. The reason that we suffer the way that we do, the reason that we don't have favor the way we're supposed to have favor, is because we as a people long ago forgot about Yah, forgot our rock. And he said that if we didn't obey him, we entered into a contract with him, and if we didn't obey him, then these things would come upon us. But we've forsaken and forgotten about him and have forgotten our special connection to him. Israel is the apple of his eye, his people. And he's not going to repent of that. He said he would not altogether destroy us, even in the land of our captivity, that he would not utterly destroy us so that we didn't exist anymore. So in these last days, as he has awakened us, it's imperative that we come back to him correctly. Can't say that we're the people of the book and get caught up in that. Well, we're the chosen people, but we didn't learn what our ancestors did. We didn't learn from, you know, what they did. And once we wake up and study it, what they did, you know, he tells us that we have to repent for the sins of our forefathers and for our own sins as a people. And so we must remember these things. And so we have to, you know and understand the closer you get to Yah, the more he requires of us. Okay? The more stern he is with us. Most importantly, we have forgotten that we made a covenant with him. We entered into a contract in which we promised to keep his law. But we have broken that promise, and now we are suffering for it. On the other hand, the Jews claim they are descendants of the biblical Israelites, have set their hand to do a lot of things and accomplish them. So they're going contrary to Scripture. Okay? We as a people, as a nation, have been dispersed as a nation. So as a nation, we suffer as a nation, as a people, not just individually. Individually, some of us can be, you know, extremely blessed. But our people, our nation will continue to suffer, and we will not have success until we as a people come back to Yah. They set their hand to get the land of Israel. They set their hand against their enemies, a host of other things they have been successful at, things I will mention throughout this dissertation. According to the word of Yah, Israel is going to be cursed at everything that they set out to accomplish. This is how you know through Israel. If we didn't keep the commandment, and we know really starting in 70 AD when the country was dispersed, when we were dispersed and scattered and start to be scattered into all the nations, first into South Africa, you know, West Africa, East Africa, and then more so toward the west coast of Africa. And as we began to be taken slaves from that coast, then we know that it was because of our disobedience when we got kicked out of the land. According to the word of Yah, Israel is going to be cursed at everything they set out to accomplish. So this verse did not refer to the Jews, the Arkanazi Jews, because it's contrary to Scripture. But it does refer to ancient Israel and their modern-day descendants, who are referred to as black or African Americans or the Negro, so-called, you know, the Hebrew so-called Negro today. Verse 22, Yah shall smite you with a consumption, progressive wasting away of the body. That's what consumption is, like a cancer. And with a fever and with an inflammation, red burning open sore. And with extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting to ruin, spoil, and to destroy and to annihilate. And with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. So these different diseases and lynchings and things that were perpetrated against us. These things would pursue us. One of the worst episodes of life of a slave was the Middle Passage, the voyage from West Africa to the Americas. The condition on the slave ships were unbearable. 200 to 400 captives were packed into like sardines into the bottom of ships. In a book entitled Black Cargo, it describes the plagues on the ships as follows. Some wet and blowing weather having occasioned the porthole to be shut and the grating to be covered with blood and mucus, which had proceeded from them in the consequence of the flux that is resembled a slaughterhouse. Number of slaves having fainted, they were carried upon the decks where several of them died. So we were, you know, packed in the bottom of these ships, our forefathers, and the conditions were just horrendous. Where was mucus and blood on the windows of the portholes. And, you know, people defecating on themselves and urinating on themselves and throwing up and, you know, just general sickness in these ships to the tune that approximately 100 million of us did not make it. That voyage, we were put on those ships but didn't make it. And, you know, I had read somewhere, I can't remember where I read this at, but it was so bad that the sharks began to follow the ships, because they knew that they would be throwing off the waste, and most of the time that was the human cargo that had either died or was too sick to make the voyage, and the sharks would eat them. The disease that they feared most on the slave ship was smallpox, because the doctors had no way of curing it until the end of the 18th century. If one man had it, he could infect a whole ship unless he was thrown overboard the first time the scab appeared. Extreme burning happened to the Negro when mobs of whites would burn blacks alive or burn their dead bodies after they had just lynched them. There is much documentation about this. So, you know, these are not things that were done in secret. These are things that are documented in history. You know, and critical race theory, which, you know, the governor of Florida has banned in his state, and a lot of the Republican states have banned in their states because they don't want to be reminded of the atrocities that they have perpetrated on black people, the Negroes in this country, and against the Indians. They don't want that talk. They don't want their children to know what they have done. So they have banned those types of books. Also, when verse 22 mentions the sword, the weapon, and blasting to destroy, it is talking about Israel's Negroes being destroyed, ruined by the weapons of their enemies. We have much documentation about this in our history also. This is supposed to happen to us. Not one, two, or even three times. But as long as we continue to walk in opposition to the Father and his law, Yah is the only fix for us. And we cannot come back to Yah half-hearted. But we must come back to Yah with our full heart, with our whole heart, with all our might. And it can't be about us. It has to be about him. Verse 25. Yah shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. You're going to go against your enemies, but I'm going to cause you to be scattered into all the kingdoms of the earth. And the reason that he put us into all the kingdoms of the earth, I think it is a twofold reason. Number one, he told us from the very beginning that we were not supposed to mix with all the other kingdoms because they worship their own gods. And if we mix with them, they would cause us to worship their gods. That was one reason. But I think also, just as with Joseph, if you look at the story of Joseph and how Joseph was put into Egypt to save Israel, I think that in the end times, the Most High also is going to use the scattering of Israel into all the kingdoms of the world to also spread the true gospel, to bring the church back in line with the word of the Most High. And the only way you're going to actually do that is if you truly believe that you are the true people of the Most High. You're not going to allow your laws and your statutes and your traditions to come from men, but only from the word of the Most High. You know, that's how I know that modern day Israel today is not the work of the Most High, no matter what they say. But the Most High never was a democracy. He never put men in charge to make the laws. He put men in charge to enforce his laws, his statutes, and his commandments. He never gave men permission to make their own laws. And so as we look at Israel today, it is not configured that way. It was not created that way. And Yah is not the king of Israel. Israel is being run by somebody elected. Just as in the democratic country. Yah would not and never create Israel as a democracy or as a communist country, but as a theocracy where he is the king. Okay. So no way could this verse refer to the modern day Jew. Because as I pointed out in Leviticus 26 and 37, the Jews have defeated their enemies in all military battles since 1948. They won the war of 1948-49, the war of 1956, the war of 1967, the Six-Day War, the 1973 Yom Kippur War, and the invasion of Lebanon. Not only did they win these wars, they also were successful in confiscating land from their enemies, Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, the West Bank, etc. Yah says in the last days, because we didn't obey him, we would not have the power to do these things. But without him, we would not even have the power to reestablish Israel. And if we did reestablish Israel, it would have to be reestablished as a theocracy and not a democracy. Okay, so we know that this doesn't apply to the current day Jews that are in the land, who say they are Jews, but are not. They assumed our identity because we were scattered and we didn't even know who we were. For the most part, most of us did not know who we were. He caused us to forget. He put us to sleep. You can read that in Romans chapter 11. He blinded us as to who we were as a people. The scriptures clearly tell us that Israel is to be smitten and defeated by their enemies. This has happened to the African-American, so-called Negro, for over 400 years. There are countless stories of whites destroying many towns of African-Americans in a matter of days. Just one example is the town of Rosewood in Florida. You know, we hear about Black Wall Street. What was that? Oklahoma City? I think that was Oklahoma City, or it may have been Tulsa. I have to look that up, see which one that was. We hear about that one all the time, but you know, we rarely hear about Rosewood. But there have been about 8 cities like that that they have come up against and that they have destroyed. There are also many stories of blacks being murdered where their white killers go without punishment. It is very rare for a white person to get the death penalty for murdering a black person, no matter how many they may have murdered. You know, so these are just facts that still go on to today. And, you know, even if you have it on videotape, a lot of times they will come up, you know, with a reason, a way to let the people go who perpetrated the crime. And then, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, because we have allowed it to be infiltrated by other organizations that have their own agenda, such as the LGBTQ movement. So those things are against scripture. Doesn't matter what the culture is doing. Doesn't matter what men think, what's right. What did Elohim say was right or wrong? And so they attach themselves to us, and we allow them to. And they promote their agenda. But we as a people are still left where we were standing, without rights, without power, without really true representation. Because even those that are elected to office tend to abandon us. You know, they go and they're in it for their own reasons. And as I said, for most of them, I have to look into the background of a lot of them because, you know, I haven't really researched a lot of the black politicians. But I'm guessing, you know, if I look, the vast majority of them will not have come out, will not have slave roots. They will not be Hebrew Israelites. You know, they could be from another country. They could be from Angola, or they might be from South Africa, or they could be from Congo or Nigeria. They can be from another country where people are dark-skinned and melanated, but they will not have come through slavery. And so we must understand these things, that we as a people still have not gotten up and we have not been represented. Okay? And when we are killed in the street, and, you know, even when we kill each other, you know, because that's things that we really have to address, us killing our own. We have to address it. And show our young people why, you know, being parts of gangs is not the way to go. And show them that if they join a camp that is just full of gangbangers who realize that they are Hebrew Israelites, it's not the way to go. Because they will still have that gangbang mentality. And it's them against the world, their own brothers and what have you. So we have to, you know, come back to the Most High, correct. You know, as previously stated in Leviticus chapter 26, we haven't historically been able to stand against our enemies as the Jews have. The so-called, we're going to call them the Ashkenazi Jews. So if they are the children of Israel according to Scripture, how are they able to defeat their enemies? Because Yah says that Israel would not be able to. Once we were scattered, we would not be able to defend ourselves. He would not be with us that way. And he would allow so much to happen to us. He would cause so much to happen to us. But then there's a limit to even what Yah says that he would do to us. And so what we find is those nations trying to utterly destroy us, whether through experimentation, whether through economic restrictions, you know, not allowing us to make the same money, no matter how qualified we become, no matter how much education we get, you know, the education is just, you know, it's just a piece of paper. And if we have it, it don't mean anything. If they have it, it means everything to them. But if we have it, it don't mean anything. Just not playing by, you know, fair weights and measures across the board, no matter what system it is. This would mean that the scriptures are not true. If they are the Hebrew Israelites of the past, then it would mean that what Yah has written in the scriptures as to what he would do to Israel is not true. If they are the real people of the book, then the scriptures would not be true. Okay. But with the proper understanding, we know that they are not descendants of the biblical Israelites and that the scriptures are indeed true because the scriptures apply to a people. And we can see exactly who they apply to. The last half of verse 25 says, Israel shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. To be removed means to be moved by force. This is telling us someone, Israel's enemy, is going to come and move them by force. We know that this happened. We migrated to the west coast of Africa, to Benin, to Togo, to that region. You had the Gold Coast, where they traded gold, and then you had the Slave Coast, which is modern-day Ghana, where we moved to. And if you look at the papal bulls, when I start teaching the hijacking of Christians by the Catholic Church, when I show you that the papal bulls, by the Pope authorized a lot of the things that were done to all the other nations in the world. Because, you know, I'm looking at how in the world does one country go to another country or another continent and start claiming the land for their own country when they know that there are people that are living there. We claim this land for the Queen of England. We claim this land for the King of Portugal. We claim this land for Great Britain. But you know that there are people living there. And you're just going to take their land and you're going to force Christianity on them. Just like it was forced on their own kingdom. To become a Christian, the way that Catholicism and Protestantism teaches it, is not the way that Messiah taught Christianity. And it's not the way that he taught that you become a member of the kingdom. It's not by force and coercion. But it's through love. It's through talking to them and making them understand that their ways are not the right ways, even though they might feel that they're right, that they're not the right ways, that there's only one true Elohim. And these are his wishes. This is what he desires. This is how he wants man to live. All others are made up. And so we're supposed to do that through love, not through force, not through coercion. And if they choose not to choose him, they have a right not to choose him. But if they don't choose him, in the end, when he establishes his kingdom on the earth, everything that they have lived for will be done away with, and they will be done away with, because that's what they chose. So we're not supposed to force it on them. We're supposed to live the life, live a righteous life, love our brothers and sisters, and love our enemies. So when I start teaching that the hijacking of Christianity, then you will see it, how, you know, they took Christianity and forcefully converted people, same way with Islam. They took it and forcefully converted people to Islam. It's not the way it was ever designed to be. Okay? So they use it for their own benefit. Now, as it said, Israel would be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, be forcibly removed. The majority of them, the so-called Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, who stole our identity, they will not migrate into all the kingdoms of the earth. They never have. Okay? They've never been in all the kingdoms as slaves and what have you. This exact situation has happened to the so-called blacks of the Western Hemisphere. We were removed by force, kidnapped, and stolen from the west coast of Africa and transported to Europe, the Americas, North and Central and South America, and the islands of the sea. Every other ethnic group, including the Jews, came to this hemisphere and country on their own free will, if they were not here already. Jews, Indians, Mexicans, and others were not brought here against their will and scattered as so-called blacks were. You know, so, you know, I even looked, and when you look at, like, the Caribbean, there were no indigenous black people in the Caribbean, in the Bahamas, in St. Lucia, in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, in the islands. There were no indigenous blacks. There were the Taino people. They kind of looked like a mixture of Polynesian and Indian. It was those people there, but we weren't there. And those blacks that volunteered to fight for Great Britain, and they told them that they would give them their freedom if they fought for Great Britain, and they lived and they helped them win the war, then they would give them their freedom. But what they did was they dropped them off in those islands. And they mixed with the indigenous people in the island. And somehow, some kind of way, start believing that they were indigenous to the island when they were not. Same thing in the Americas, the five major Indian tribes. In the Americas had Negroes as slaves. And the reason that the white man came against them, because they weren't using the slaves effectively. They had all this land, and they were not effectively using the slaves. So they said, okay, well, we'll come and throw you off the land and take your slaves. The Indians. The American Constitution is based upon one of the major Indian tribes and based upon we the people. Now, I'm still trying to figure out why would the American Indians, and I'm trying to remember what Indians those were, the tribe, the major tribe that they were, but why would they allow the white race, the Caucasian race, to come over and to take over their land and give them their form of government? Maybe they thought they were going to live side by side in equality, you know. And at first they probably were told that lie. But then because they did not treat the slaves the same way that the whites treated the slaves, they did not treat the slaves as a beast of burden. And they allowed them to marry into their tribe. And they said, hey, you are wasting a resource. And you have the lands that have the cotton and the corn and all this stuff on it. You own those lands. But we're going to come and take those lands from you. Because we can better utilize the slave than you have. And we will enslave you. We'll put you on your piece of land and cause you to waste away as a people too. Okay, so this history in this country is deep and complex. But, you know, the Indians can't say that they didn't have slaves, because they did. And they were Negroes. They didn't treat them like the white people treated them, totally. But they were still slaves. Okay. All of those people, they either already had a land here, just like the Mexicans owned just about, you know, all of Texas, all the way up through Washington State. The Mexicans, even down into Mexico, got taken from them. And so we got to understand, when I looked at this, I said, is this legal for them to have done this? To just come and claim a land. Hey, I claim this for Britain, and, you know, just start killing the people off, lying to them and taking their land from them. Is this legal? Today is not legal. And it's never been biblical. But I look at the biblical principles on this, and it's never been biblical. So we got a race of people who were just violent, covetous, greedy, that would take over the world and come and take from whatever nation that they felt like they were strong enough to take it from. And then do it in the name of Christianity. Do it in the name of Islam. Okay? But when you look at these two faiths, which are both Abrahamic, based on Abrahamic faith, it was never supported. And so we have to look at Catholicism and the Roman Empire with Christianity, because, you know, a lot of us don't like to call ourselves Christian. But the truth of the matter is, it was hijacked, and it plays along with our history. The blacks on the west coast of Africa, who are really Hebrews, a point I will prove later, were being transported to all the Arab countries 1,000 years before the Europeans came to the shores of West Africa. You know, it didn't really start with the Catholics, but they moved us into the Western Hemisphere. But we were being taken as slaves into the Arab countries. And Edom had mixed with the Arabs. So these are technically our cousins, our brothers and our cousins. But they were enslaving us. And Yah allowed it because of our disobedience. Verse 28. Yah shall smite you with madness. Madness meaning insanity, foolish behavior, and blindness. Not physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. And astonishment of heart, panic, and fear. It is insane and foolish for the American Negro to imitate those who have oppressed them for over 400 years. We want to be like our oppressors, and this is when I first got into this walk. First thing I saw with that problem with Israel has always been that Israel wanted to be like the nations around them. Yah says, don't mix with them, and that's the first thing we want to do. We want to be like them. Even in the days of Moses, when he's bringing the people through the desert, and they run into the Midianites, a lot of the Midianites they are the seed of Abraham, but they were worshiping false deities. And they were having sex as part of their religious worship. The priests and the priestess were having sex with the congregation as part of worship. And so you have a Hebrew that brings back a Midianite priestess. He goes into the tent in front of Moses, and he's going to worship with her. And this man comes along and runs him and her through with a spear. And Yah is with that, because this man took action to stop this. Okay? So we have always wanted to be like the nation. Be like those that were against us. Because the Midianites were against us at one point, even though they were supposed to be our kinfolk, the seed of Abraham, through Keturah. So we dress like them, try to talk like them, even try to look like them. All this was done so that we might be accepted by the dominant society of the time. When we got to America, what we try to do, try to press our hair straight, like them, look like them, act like them, try to be accepted among them. Always trying to be like our captors and like our oppressors. You know, put that lie in your hair straighten out your hair, make it straight like theirs. Those races that we were forced to interbreed with, they mostly had straight hair. Their offspring would come out with straight hair or curly hair, and then we would be told that, oh, they got the good hair. If we had nappy hair, truly curly hair, we were told we had the bad hair. It all played. I can remember that as a child. And girls be talking about, oh, he got that good hair. I didn't have the good hair. I got kinky hair. It straightened out more so as I got older. But I had kinky hair. And was told that, hey, you know, this brother over here got the good hair. He got that straight hair. All of that played into us because we tried to be like them, so that we would be accepted among them. And truthfully, all we ever got was a slap in the face. If you ever went among them and tried to be like them, they would never accept you. The American Negroes are deep spiritual darkness. In deep spiritual darkness, we have become ignorant and unaware of the truth about our heritage and our Creator. Instead, we have embraced the slave master's religion. We embrace their version of Christianity. It started with us. And what word you want to use for it, whether you want to say that it was messianic, whether we were Hamashians, however you wanted to label it other than Christianity, it started with us. And it was not until 325 A.D., that's about 395 years after we have been scattered, at the Nicene Council, that they came up with their version of Christianity. And this is what they forced on people. See, the Roman Empire never converted to Christianity. Not the way that the scriptures say you have to be converted. You must be converted. If you just declare yourself to be a Christian, that doesn't make you a Christian. You must be converted in your heart, in your spirit. You must be born of the water and of the spirit. Can't just say I'm a Christian, but that's what they did. They just declared themselves to be Christians and then imposed their understanding of Christianity. But when we know the truth and when we study the scriptures, we understand that this was not something that Messiah tried to force on anyone. It's not something that he tried to coerce them into. We explain to them what the nature of man is and his sin nature and why he must be converted and why his motivation must be true love. And let the person make their own personal choice. And they can't make their own, their own version of it. But see, this is what man has done. They try to take their culture and then make Christianity fit into their culture, their traditions, their ways. It's not the way that it's supposed to work. And so because we were busy trying to be like them, we forgot about our heritage and our Creator. And instead we have embraced the slave master's religion, his doctrines, and his culture, not realizing that it was under the auspices of his religion that we were enslaved. They took Christianity, converted it, changed it, and then forced it back on us. And because we were in apostasy, we were in rebellion against the Most High, because we didn't follow his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, because we crucified the Messiah, our forefathers. He said he blinded us. He blinded us. So that he could bring in some of the Gentiles. Not all Gentiles. Not all that call on his name, because they have to come into the truth as well. And they have to come to the position of love. And they must be truly converted. You can read that in Romans 11. Why we were blinded. So our state of madness and blindness has caused us to be astonished at our own condition. You know, we be marveling at, wow, how did we get this way? Why does the world treat us how it treats us? But we never want to take accountability that, you know, we brought this on ourselves by disobeying the Most High Elohim. Okay? We are perplexed as to why we seem to be the most hated of all races of men on the face of the earth. We are always the target of discrimination, racism, or police brutality. Rodney King, Emmett Till, James Byrd Jr., Ricky Bergstone only represent a few of the thousands of victims who have been raped, lynched, beaten, shot, and murdered for no apparent reason other than racial identity. This is not to mention the host of secret governmental and organizational plots and schemes aimed at total annihilation of our people. But the Most High won't allow the total annihilation of us. Only if we remain in rebellion. Okay. So verse 29. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and robbed always, and no man shall save you. This scripture says that Israel is going to grope, which means to search around with uncertainty and blindly search. A blind man lives in a world of darkness, and he is forced to grope in order to navigate his surroundings. Noonday is when the sun is at the highest peak in the sky, thus giving off the most light, the brightest point of the day. This verse is saying to us that Israel is going to search around with uncertainty like a blind man while the sun is shining the brightest. This is symbolic of the word of Yah or truth, trying to find a way out of their terrible situation, trying to find a way out of the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, groping around for it, not able to come to understanding, not realizing that we are up under that curse, blind, put asleep by the Most High. If you get 15 black leaders in a room and have them discuss a solution to help blacks or Negroes lessen their problems, you will get 30 different answers. And not one of them would be to return to Yah, our Creator. They're going to always be looking for some solution in the world, some solution to come from us other than returning to Yah. And that's the only fix for us. It's to return to Yah. But our leaders won't do it. Our leaders won't say it because they are blind. And truthfully, they are like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They don't want to lose the power that they have. But men love power. Mankind loves power. And when they get it, they don't care how they get it. As long as they have some over some person or people, then they love that. But our only fix is to return to our Creator. There are so many different groups in the African-American community who claim they're trying to help African-Americans better our condition. But all of those groups have very different ideologies and doctrines. Even if they agree on what the major problems are, they still are unable to arrive at a common solution. The result is a confusion which keeps our minds from focusing on the most important issue of our existence. One would be hard-pressed to find a house in the black community that doesn't have a Bible. Just about every so-called black person, Negro, has read or heard something about the Bible. As a rule, it is in some way a part of our upbringing. But as we as a people still don't understand that this book, which the Gentiles, the white races, hold up such high esteem, is the very book that foretold our entire history in the Western Hemisphere centuries before we arrived here. With all this light, the light being the scriptures and history, shining toward us, we still are searching around in the world of darkness like blind men. See, we will take the Bible and not understanding that Yah is in control of everything. And he promised that in the end he would wake us up. And we will say, we will have factions of us that wake up and say, you know, the Bible is corrupted. It has been corrupted by white men. It has been used by white races to hold us captive, to enslave us. Rather than looking at the root of the problem, even they don't understand it. But looking at the root of the problem, our disobedience to Yah. You see, you will have the Mormons and, you know, all the other groups that claim that they are Israel. They will say that blacks are cursed because we are black. No, that's not the truth. We are cursed because we disobey the Most High Elohim and we happen to be black. And they don't say we are cursed because we disobey Elohim. They'll simply say we are cursed because we are black. As though the black color is, you know, a curse within itself. It is not, because that is the vast majority of the races on the earth. They're melanated. And we are not black per se. We claim this, or they have claimed us to be black, but we are coffee colored. We are dark skinned. Now, we do have some Hamites that come pretty close to black. Truthfully, blue-black. I think I was listening to this one comedian talking about some guy told him he looked like he's under the bed. He looked like under the bed. You know, if you look up under the bed and if there's cover everywhere, it's dark, it's black, you can't see nothing. The only difference between him and midnight was 11:59. Other than that, you couldn't tell him the difference between him and midnight. Now, this is an African comedian making, you know, jokes about how dark they are as a people. But we are not per se black. I know if I put my hand down to compare to something black, I'm about 30 shades lighter. And I'm dark-skinned, but I'm 30 shades lighter than black. Okay, so we're not truly black, but we claim black is generic, and we claim, you know, African-American, two continents. What race of people is that? Doesn't exist. And so we are searching for identity. When the Most High wakes us up and lets us know that we're Israel, do we become consumed with that? Hey, we're the people of the book. We're the chosen of the Most High. But still don't want to do what the Most High said we must do. In love, and we start practicing Hebrewism, self-worship, still groping around. Because if that was the answer, our forefathers would have made it. They didn't make it because they forsook our Elohim. They put their righteousness above his righteousness. They put their judgments above his judgments. They put their traditions above his law. They didn't make it. That's why he told us that we must confess the sins of our forefathers and then our own sins so that we would know what they did wrong and we don't make the same mistake they made, and that we know where we are at so that we can repent of our sins and correct those sins. In 1832, a U.S. senator named Henry Barry said to the Virginia House of Delegates, "We have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which the light, the truth, may enter the slave's mind. We have closed every avenue that the truth may enter into the slave's mind. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete." They can't do what Yah doesn't intend, but they wanted to, they tried to, They would then be on a level with the beast of the field. And this was their intent, to make us equal with the beast of the field. This is law. This is the leaders of this nation and what their intent was for us as a people, to make us as the beast of the field. And because we wanted to be like them, we fell right into that trap too. And some of us even believe it. Freedom will only come through a spiritual awakening. And this is what Yah is doing with his people. He's awakening us. Something that they couldn't foretell and they couldn't stop. And healing of the problem that caused our captivity and prolongs our continued oppression. We must come back to Yah, our Holy One, the Most High. That is our only fix. That is how you identify us as a people. The curses that are in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 must apply to a people. They apply to us. The last half of verse 29 says, Israel will not prosper in their ways and shall be only oppressed and robbed always. The American Negro as a people have not prospered in this country. Right now we are in control of 1.5% of the nation's wealth. At the end of the chattel slavery, 1865, we owned 1/2 of the nation's wealth. We buy any and everything and own little or nothing. And this is true. We buy from other races. We are a nation of consumers. But we consume from the other nations. So our wealth that we go out and work 40 hours a week for, or 80 hours every 2 weeks, we end up giving to the other nations. Hold on just a second. I've got to take this to my grandson. I'll be right back. Hold on just a minute, Demi. I'm going to play this until I come back. We don't use it because we are separated. Even when we are together, we are separated. The social acceptance and grants of the wealth that the government has given to the Europeans, Asians, and Hispanic immigrants, but withheld from blacks. Now, this one, even the USDA, all of the government institutions, they help the other races. But when it comes to us as a people, they will not help us. They will not give us loans. You know, you can get a USDA loan for 1% for 35 years. That means that your payment on $100,000, we'll just use that number, would be like $10 or $100. If you had to go to a bank, you have to have the, you know, the required down payment. You have to have the credit score, and you might get it at 8% for 10 years. So they will allow and give these loans to their own people or to the Asian or to the Hispanic immigrants, but they will not give them to the blacks, to the African American, so-called Negro. And now these discriminations have been highly documented as well, and I've applied for loans and for grants through this organization saying, hey, you say you got programs that you're trying to do better at, you know, the way you have treated blacks in the past, and still get turned down. So we'll see from this last submission that we did. We'll see how we come out on that. So Asians and Hispanic immigrants, but withheld from blacks. There are two already?
Mm-hmm.
So let us decidedly ill-equipped to compete with the more advantaged groups. This left us ill-equipped. You know, if you don't have the finance to buy the land, to buy the seed, to buy the equipment, then how are you, you know, the only way you can do it is through your own. And because we have been so busy being split that, you know, even now you got most African Americans afraid to actually really come together, except for if it's through anger, except for if it's through gangbanging, even within the camp. They don't want to be holy. They don't want to be what Yah wants them to be. They're still trying to be like their captors. And so, you know, we'll come together, but it's to beat our captors. It's to have power over our captors. No, that's not what Yah said. So it's hard for us to even unite for the right reason. But we're at disadvantage of the other groups. They come and they get up and they have more wealth than we have. Be here a lesser time and get up faster because they realize they are of the same blood. Not our blood, but of the same Caucasoid blood. Anybody that has the straight hair like that would have they're of the same genome, the same blood type. And they know this. So we will help anybody but you. Anybody that comes here with bushy hair, kinky hair, melanated, no, we're not helping them. If you come and you got straight hair, we'll help you. We were not allowed to compete with whites at any level of life. No other racial or ethnic group has been confronted with such systematic opposition to their personal economic independence and right to earn a living. We are living in the richest nation on the earth, but still haven't prospered as other groups have in this country. On the other hand, the Jews have prospered. The Jews own the news. They own the advertising. They own the banking system in this country. But if they were the true people of the book, they could not have that power. They are the major owners of the movie industry, the television stations, the print media, the newspapers, the magazines, banks, both national and international. The so-called Jews. Okay. But if they are the true Jews, then they would have fallen up under the curses. Even the Israeli Jews are prospering, as this article from the Chicago Sun-Times, May 14, 2006. When it comes to business and investment opportunities outside the United States, there are a few places more popular than Israel. More venture capital money is being spent in Israel than any other nation except the United States. In all, foreign investment in Israel totaled about $3.5 billion in 1997, up to about $1.5 billion in 1996, and $400 million in 1992. There are also more startup companies being formed in Israel than any other nation other than the United States. About one homegrown technology company is started every 3 days. More than 100 Israeli companies, virtually all of them in the high-tech sector, are traded on the stock exchange in New York. Only the U.S. and Canada have more. So if they are the people of the book, this is not supposed to be so. And they want to claim that they are the people of the book, and they want to claim that they are blessed of Elohim, but the scripture says that they are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, Satan, and I want you to hear this, because a lot of the times people don't realize where blessings can come from. What did Satan offer Messiah? If you bow down to me, I'll give you all the riches of the world. They are mine to give. And I'll give them to you if you bow down to me. And so because people have all the riches of the world, they automatically assume that they are blessed and it's coming from the Most High. But if you look at their standards of living, if you look at their morals, if it don't line up with the Most High, then you know it's not coming from the Most High. It's coming from the enemy. And he has the power to give it. The Most High says, I will take it from the unrighteous and give it to the righteous. But Satan can give it to whomever he wants. And he usually gives it to the unrighteous, so that they will worship him. So we got to understand, if their laws, their traditions, their ordinances, their judgments don't line up with the Most High, then know that their blessings aren't coming from the Most High. They are coming from the Wicked One. And he has the power. He is in control of them. Yah takes from him to give to us. But he also has the power to give it. Go back and look at what Satan tempted Messiah with. And the things that he tempted him with, he has the power to give. So when we see Israel, modern day Israel, being blessed the way that they are on a global scale, notice, and then you look at their country, and their country is not based upon the Most High. Their country is based upon men in this world. Then you know that their riches and their success is not because of them belonging to the Most High. But as the scripture says, they are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews but are not. There's no way that you could be of the Most High and say there's a law that the biggest gay parade in the world is held in Jerusalem. This is an extreme abomination before the Most High. And the things that they do don't line up with the scriptures. They line up with the natural nature of man, which is what Satan is relying on. And I know a lot of people are not going to want to hear that, but that is the truth. If they were lined up with the Most High, and if they truly were the people of the Most High, then they would fall up under the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, even today. And all we have to do is believe the scripture, because Messiah told us that Jerusalem would be downtrodden until the times of by the Gentiles, that Jerusalem would be downtrodden by the Gentiles, times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So who is over Jerusalem today? The Gentiles. Where is Israel at today? Still scattered. So we got to know this and understand it. This is how you identify to Israel. So if they own all the banks, the media, if they're traded on the stock exchange, if the startup companies, the high-tech jobs are being started, you know, Israel is not far behind the leaders of the world. Does this sound like the people who aren't prospering? Now, this is back in the 2000s. Like I said, it's been about 16 years since I talked this lesson. I should update it for today. But nothing has changed. Does it sound like they're not prospering? Does it sound like the people who are only oppressed and robbed? The answer is no, it don't sound like that. But on the other hand, we have been under oppression in the West for over 400 years. We have been robbed of our culture, our language, our heritage, and our ideals. The scripture also says that no man shall save Israel. We have in our history countless men and women who have tried to save this people. Men such as Frederick Douglass, Nat Turner, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, and a host of others who have just too numerous to name here. Tried to save us, weren't able to. Verse 30, you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. This verse is saying everything Israel has is going to be taken or belong to someone else. Once again, scripture is descending or describing our situation in the West. During slavery, slave owners often took the wives of black Israelite slaves and slept with them, or caused them to sleep with whoever they wanted them to sleep with. Okay? And this was something that they had to endure. And as I taught on many times, many lessons, we came out of slavery with that mentality. And I first read it in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. That because we, our forefathers, went a-whoring after other gods in the house of Elohim, worshiping the stars, the moon, and the sun, worshiping creeping things in his house, in his temple. He said, oh, you done brought your lover into my house and sleeping with him in my house. In Hosea, he says, oh, you are contrary, Israel. A prostitute will sleep with someone for money. You will pay for somebody to sleep with you, or you will give it away free, because you are contrary even to the way of a natural woman. You're worse than them. You will either pay them to sleep with you, or you will give it away for free. and everything that I have blessed you with, you will take it and lay it at your quote-unquote spiritual man's foot. The corn, the wine, the wheat, everything I have blessed you with, you will lay it at the feet of the nations, of the nations that you're trying to sleep with. Because you're contrary. Talking about us, talking about our forefathers. So he said, I'm going to put, since you have that spirit of whoredom, I'm going to put that spirit in you and send you into captivity with that same spirit. And when you come out of captivity, you will still carry that same spirit of whoredom. You will have children with men and don't know who the father is in a lot of cases. Who's this baby's father? Don't know. Why? Because I've slept with too many men. I don't know. Or have children by multiple men. And this is going to come out of slavery. But I'm going to send you into slavery with that spirit. And I'm going to put people over you that are going to enforce that spirit. So your masters will say who you sleep with. You won't have a say in who you sleep with. Whether you're male or female, you will not have a say. If I want you to sleep with this Indian, or if I want you to sleep with this Mexican, if I want you to sleep with this European, if I want you to sleep with this Asian, it don't matter. You will sleep with who I tell you to sleep with, and you will have children with whom I tell you to have children with. And everything that comes from your womb, I will consider it to be a slave. Even if it's of my own flesh, I will consider it to be a slave. And you know, not all of our women like that. But there were some that grew to like it. Truthfully, grew to like it. And they bought that mentality out of slavery with them. Men that grew to like it. Oh, I don't have to have no responsibility. I just come up on the slave farm, sleep with this woman, impregnate her. They move me to the next farm. Once I was considered a buck, I was a buck. And I was prized for mounting the women and getting them pregnant. But the same mentality out of slavery. But we don't see it, and we don't see it as a problem. He's so fine. He's so fine. But this is put on us by the Most High. And we took it into slavery with us. It was reinforced in slavery. We brought it out of slavery with us. And then, if we were trying to do right, then the institutions were set up, oh, you're going to get food stamps? You're going to get welfare? The man can't be in the house with you. So we don't care how many men you get pregnant by, as long as they're not in the house with you, then we'll give you a little bit of stipend to help you, you know, pay rent and help you kind of take care of the children, and we'll give you food stamps. But if it wasn't done, what was it intended, used for, those white families, the man could be in the house. It was considered that they were just down on their luck. They were going through a hard time, and the man could be in the house, and they could be working. And this was to help them bring them up to a certain standard. But if you were black, no, the man could not be in the house. And he could not receive food stamps or welfare. We'll give that to the woman. And so it helped to propagate that, the separation of the black family. It all worked together. And so we wonder why we are the way that we are. move on. So the scripture was telling us that we just read, everything that we have is going to be taken from us. Saying that if we had a wife, somebody else would come sleep with her. Could you imagine being a man and a woman, you're married? Master comes in and says, you know what, you go sit in the corner while I take your wife in front of you. And then we didn't have the fortitude to either die, not letting him, you know, trying to keep him from taking our wife. But we were weak and sat there and watched him take our wife. And then when the baby came out, if it was light skin, we knew who it was and it wasn't ours. And we were forced to live with those things, and the woman was forced to live with those things. So she felt like she wasn't protected, couldn't be protected. So she started making her own contracts and agreements with the master. We were in bad shape and still are in bad shape. Because a lot of us can't get into relationships and stay in those relationships. Because we don't really address the root issue. And we're trying to run our lives like under the Western Hemisphere's way of life and thinking. So we have a lot of work to do. Even pull ourselves from under this mentality. Well, I don't need a man. I can make as much money as I need to make. I can take care of myself. Talk to too many women that have done that for too many years and they don't like it. They really wish they had somebody else that, you know, could help them along. But they do what they have to do. But this is all because of our disobedience to the Most High. You're not going to be able to determine who you sleep with. And then your men are going to come out, they're going to have a whorish mentality. The women are going to come out, they're going to have a whorish mentality. No trust between the sexes. Hard to build solid relationships. Let's move on. So once again, the scripture is describing our situation in the West. During slavery, slave owners often took the wives of black Israelite slaves and slept with them. This happened during the Middle Passage and after the slaves arrived on the land. J.A. Stedman, a slave trader, relays of his 5-year slave trade expedition. If a Negro and his wife have ever too great an attachment for each other, the woman, if handsome, must yield to the loathsome embraces of the adulterous and licentious manager, or see her husband cut into pieces for endeavoring to prevent it. So if she was beautiful and somebody desired her, she had to yield herself to those people and allow them to take her and do and have sex with her however they wanted to. And her man had to look, and if he tried to prevent it, then he was cut into pieces. If she resisted, he was cut into pieces. If he tried to prevent it, he was cut into pieces. This is just one account of many, which details how slave masters and traders would rape black women. Brick by brick, black slaves have built nearly every one of this nation's great cities. Black built their mansions of the South that the slave masters dwelt in while they were forced to live in run-down shacks. We are also the ones who planted not just the vineyards, but all the crops, and we're not allowed to partake of any of the fruit. Here, you take the guts of these animals that we don't want to eat. Oh, I killed a deer today. Here, you can have the entrails, but you don't get a piece of this venison. It's against your religion to eat hogs, but here, you take the chitlins, you take the hog maws, and the intestines, and you eat those. But they gave us a little bit of corn. This country was built on the backs of black people who to this day, this very day, have not been paid a dime for all our labor and trouble. Verse 32. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in your hand. Black Israelite families were ripped apart during the long, harsh period of the Atlantic slave trade. In some instances, the sons and daughters of the black Israelites were captured while away from their parents, never to see them again. In other cases, the entire family was taken into captivity, where parents often watched their children sold to different slave masters and different plantations. In his autobiography of 1745, a slave named Aluda Equano relates his experience. I remember in the vessel in which I was brought over, there were several brothers who in the cell were sold in different lots, and it was very moving on this occasion to see and hear their cries and parting. So, you know, they captured all these brothers together. They come over on the same ship, and then they're sold to different slave masters, broken up. Same thing with, you know, if a man and a woman and the children happen to be taken. Then they would take the children and the master and his wife, and they would be sold to different plantations, split up. In another slave narrative by a female slave named Linda Brent, her narrative is called Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl. She explains in detail her witness account of a Hebrew family being given to another people. She says, on the one of these sale days, I saw a mother lead seven children to the auction block. She knew that some of them would be taken from her, but they took all. The children were sold to a slave trader, and their mother was brought by a man in her own town. Before night, her children were all far away. She begged the trader to tell her where he intended to take them. This he refused to do. How could he, when he knew he would sell them one by one, wherever he could command the highest price? I met that mother in the street, and her wild, haggard face lives today in my mind. She wrung her hands in anguish and exclaimed, "Gone, all gone. Why don't God kill me?" I had no words hereafter to comfort her. Instances of this kind are of daily, yet hourly occurrence. So this was not happening just on a daily basis. It was happening hourly. Families being ripped apart. Children being stolen and brought over as siblings and being separated. Mothers and fathers were separated from their children. Trafficking children even became a specialty for certain traders. Little slaves were often handed out as gifts. A favorite child, a grandchild, or a godchild might be given a little black boy or girl as a new plaything. All of these are historical facts that can be found in history books, telling how slave masters sold children away from their parents. Many of these accounts are written by the slaves themselves. But even today, African-American children are still being taken away from their parents. There are over 600,000 children in child welfare service. In the United States, 70-80% of them are black children. In some states, the number is as high as 90-95%. In the state of Illinois, 88% of the children in the state custody are black. In the city of Chicago, 95% of the children taken into child welfare are black. This has become a huge problem in the African-American community. The government is removing mass amounts of black children from their homes of origin. Not only are they removing black children from their homes, they have made it more difficult for black parents to get their children back and easier for whites and others to adopt them. Now, you know, not all white people are bad. But at the same time, if a country will not allow you to adopt a child of your own race and will allow another race that has historically had your children as slaves and playthings, a gay couple can adopt a black child quicker than they can adopt a white child. A gay couple. So this child might not even be gay. But well, how do you think they're going to end up turning out to be? It's a shame. Many of the black parents who have children taken away from them also have their parental rights terminated, which means they no longer have any parental rights to their own child. The reason why other people can adopt black children more easily is because of legislation passed. The passage of the Multi-Ethnic Placement Act in October 1994 states that agencies which receive federal funds may not categorically deny any person the opportunity to become an adoptive or foster parent solely on the basis of race, color, or nationality, national origin. After these children are taken from their home, it, in most cases, makes it impossible for the parents to get them back, even after they do what the state requires of them in order to regain custody. This has happened to black children. This is happening to black children only, not Hispanic, Asian, whites, or Indians, because this curse has been placed upon us just as the scriptures predicted. In the year 2002 of the local news in Chicago, Fox News, they presented a special report called The Forgotten Children. And I'm going to read this, and then we will stop right here for the night. In this special, they were showed how Northern Europeans and some Canadians are adopting black children en masse. These children are removed from their black parents and given to these other peoples overseas. The report was shocking but informative. In this program, the woman you see pictured was featured. Her name is Judy Pitcher. She adopted this little black boy. She also depicted when he was less than a week old, which means as soon as the baby was born, he was taken from the mother. Her parental rights were instantly terminated, and the child was given to the white Canadian. Now, what do you think that they're doing with these black children, in all honesty? And this is still going on today. It's still going on today. What do you think they're doing with these black children? In all honesty, are they raising them like their own? They cannot give them white privilege because they're not white. So when they go out into the world, they're still subject to the same racism. But I submit that they are probably taking these children and abusing and misusing them. Just like, what was the movie I was watching? There was a movie, a series that came out, a TV series called The Power. And in this series, what happened was the Most High had started giving women powers. There was this organ inside of all women that ran across their chest. And when they got their power, this organ grew and increased, and they were allowed to have power over men. Men that abused them. And this one little black girl, she was adopted by a white family, and how the father would teach her a lesson, he would go in and rape her. And the mother knew, so anytime it was going on, the mother would turn the radio up loud so that the neighbors couldn't hear what he was doing to this girl. But she had received this power, and when he came in to rape her, she sort of electrocuted him to death and then ran away. But the truth of the matter is, when they are taking our children, What exactly are they doing to them? What are they using them for? Just food for thought. On next week, we will start with verse 34. We will pick this up in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 34. Because these are the curses that Yah said that our people would be up under. We would have no power. Other people would sleep with our wives, our men, our children. We would not be able to get up. And this is how you know, truthfully, who Israel is. Based upon the curses. Who fits the curses? Because we know that our forefathers did not obey Yah. And he says, and if we would not obey him, this is what would come of us. We are the only people in the world whom these curses fit. The Jews can take their diaspora, can take their Holocaust, and it doesn't line up with these verses. But you can take the black diaspora, the slave trade, and it lines up perfectly. And take our experience in the countries that we're in, because we're looking at America, but think about the atrocities that were done to us in the European nations, in the Arab nations. In the other nations of the world, where if you are dark-skinned and you are of Negroid blood, you are considered the lowest on the totem pole. Think about the atrocities that we suffer at the hands of all these people, all because we disobeyed Yah. And they took it to another level. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Yah is looking for a people that will fear him and keep his commandments. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And
every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the mishma. got good vibrations, so what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said to teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man.
Not depressed.
Amen. Peace and blessings to you.
All right.